Hello and welcome to Are You Well? In this episode, I'm going to be talking to you about losing weight without losing health. Obviously, during COVID, the lockdown weight gain has become very common, even amongst those who have paid attention to their weight management or facing difficulties in managing weight due to reduced opportunities for movement. What are the factors which influences weight? Of course, there are many factors. It's not just our diet and our exercise, age, genetics, physiological stress, psychological stress, poor quality of rest, and impaired metabolism, lack of exercise or wrong type of exercising, foods eaten, food combinations, times of eating, our fluid intake, whether it's water, coffee, tea, alcohol, other drinks, and of course, the amount of antioxidants that we are getting through our food or through supplementation. The good news is all diets, they work in the short term, but the bad news is any weight loss diet can have a negative impact on health in the long term. Therefore, it's important to focus on health, not just weight loss. There are many weight loss diets, like FITO diet was very popular. Now it is intermittent fasting, which is 16-8 or 18-6, low-carb, high-protein diets, calorie-based diets, intermittent fasting diets. There are many, but the points to consider when you are on a high-protein and low-carb diet, which has become the most common form of diet that I see amongst people, particularly also in my practice amongst my patients. The advantage of high protein and low carb diets, particularly because it's low carb, is faster weight loss. But it's very difficult to follow. And also high proteins can result in increasing your inflammation or inflammatory markers. There can be systemic acidity. And once systemic acidity sets in, it becomes very difficult to bring the system to an alkaline environment. And if you're not taking the right supplements, then there can be risk for osteoporosis because there isn't enough opportunity for bone mineralization. And if you don't do high protein, low carb diets properly, there's risk of renal failure and risk of thyroid disruption because our thyroids do respond to carbohydrates. And if there's no job given to thyroid to process carbohydrates, then they do become underactive. And importantly, with high protein, low carb diets, there can be constipation because there's not enough fiber. And constipation, once it becomes a pattern, it's going to upset the digestive health, gut health, and gut health, when is dysregulated, can become the basis, a cause for many other chronic dysfunctions. While if you are considering, calorie counting diets, which are basically calorie deficit diets, the stress of measuring food intake, you have to calculate every food, then there can be nutritional gaps and it can set cravings. And it's not sustainable in the long run that you are going to be measuring your calories all the time. There's risk of muscle loss and you can put on weight very soon after you have stopped following a caloric restricted diet. Okay, so there are disadvantages with all kinds of weight loss diets. What are the points to consider when it comes to intermittent fasting? It's a very tempting idea because it's about skipping meal instead of actually taking a decision on what to eat, which many times feels actually fantastic. And I must say intermittent fasting has helped me greatly over years, because I didn't have to think about food, at least for one meal, if I'm just going for two meals. But it can again result in nutritional imbalances, but danger of low caloric intake on fasting days. And also there's long-term risk, which are still not known. But what is important is to know what suits you best. Like there's this common kind of proverb or knowledge that a banana tree should never be transformed into an apple tree. A banana tree is a banana tree, an apple tree is an apple tree. Therefore, to know our own body time. Am I suited for low-caloric diets? Am I suited for intermittent fasting? Is what I would need to decide. Also, our values. You know, if you're going on a high-protein, low-carb diet, how much of proteins can you get from a vegetarian source? Of course, you can get good vegetarian sources of proteins, but is it enough if you're doing a weight loss diet? So if you're somebody who actually can go on animal protein intake, then a high protein, low carb diet sounds much more manageable than if you're vegan or vegetarian. So therefore, we need to consider our own value systems about our food with our metabolic type. And once we are able to integrate our values with our metabolic type, then we are on a good solid foundation to decide what kind of weight loss program that would suit me best. To understand our metabolic type becomes important, as if we don't change our environment, our metabolism, which contributes towards our weight loss, by having any kinds of food which works for someone else may not work for you. And from an initial assessment of what you want to look at is whether, as an adult, if you have a tendency for apple-shaped adiposity or pear-shaped adiposity. Apple-shaped adiposity is where the arms and legs, they don't tend to accumulate fat, but then most of the weight goes around the waist. Whereas in pear-shaped adiposity, the upper body tends to be thin, whereas the hips and also the lower abdomen tends to accumulate fat. This indicates completely different kind of hormonal status. So those who have more of an apple adiposity, there is a greater tendency for accumulating only visceral fat, whereas those who have pear-shaped adiposity, then they have more of accumulating more fat in the lower body. So then how do we understand this from an Ayurvedic perspective? You know, Ayurveda looks at individual body types. So if you want to understand your metabolic type from Ayurveda, if you are a Vata metabolic type, then you will have noticed that from time to time, you will have food intolerances. You may have excessive cravings, like craving for sugar or craving for salt. But you know, when you are doing your dieting, you might be okay for some time, but then the cravings do overpower. That would be the nature of Vata metabolic type. And also, you may gain fat unevenly, like mostly around the waist, but not so much in other areas. And Vata metabolic type, or those who are of Vata type, they tend to have a tendency towards anxiety. And the energy levels keep fluctuating, and disturbed sleep can be one of the key features. And there might be not enough energy to exercise. And in terms of gut health functions, a Vata metabolic type would be more prone to constipation. So if these are some of the features that you can relate to, then you know that you are more of a Vata type. And then I'll look at, you know, what kinds of weight loss diets or lifestyle that you could be following if you can identify yourself as Vata type. What about Pitta metabolic type? So if you are a Pitta metabolic type, there is tendency for strong food allergies or acidity. GERD, which is gastroesophageal reflex disease, where there can be reflux or acidity after eating. There can be some underlying hormonal imbalances. Stress can play a very important role in those who are of Pitta nature because they get stressed. And there can be some issues with liver detoxification. And Pitta metabolic type, they lose fat quickly and they put it back very quickly. So anger, irritability, impatience can all be psychological features of somebody who has a Pitta metabolic type. And Pitta metabolic type individuals also have very zealous, excessive desire to over-exercise, doing several fitness sessions a day. And also, in terms of their gut health, they may have a certain tendency towards more loose stools than constipation. And when Pitta metabolic type is your dominant features, you may have a tendency for addictions, whether it is for food, exercise, good eating, or bad eating. So it's important to recognize what your metabolic type from an Ayurvedic perspective is. Now let's look at the Kapha metabolic types. Kapha metabolic types, they can skip meals and eat be all right. Particularly, they don't feel hungry at all during breakfast. And when it comes to lunch, they might have some hunger. But mostly for them, eating is more emotional rather than eating because they feel hungry. And there can be a tendency for underactive thyroids if you are a Kapha type. There can be a tendency towards sadness or depression. Like, you're more likely to feel depressed and anxious. And Kaphas, they like to procrastinate or postpone decisions on dieting or exercise. Like, Kaphas are always kind of thinking, okay, so today the weather is not all right, so let me go for a walk tomorrow. Or maybe this is a very peak time at the gym, so let me find a time when there are not many people at the gym. So there always is some kind of excuse that their mind finds to postpone exercising and even dieting. So today is the last day I'm going to eat well, and from tomorrow let me start dieting. And Kapha metabolic types, they also gain fat below the waist region or gain fat evenly. So they can be more pear-shaped or they can gain fat everywhere. They find it difficult to lose weight despite dieting, and that's one of the reasons that they give up different kinds of dieting programs or exercise, because it takes time for Kaphas to start to lose weight. So when we understand these specific imbalances, then we will be able to, based on that, regulate how we can use a dietary plan and exercise and lifestyle to make sure that we can have our goal of reaching weight loss but without losing health.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
The station that makes you feel good.
So let's start with how our body's elimination is. Because body's elimination process is the most truthful way of how your body is telling you whether you are absorbing what you are eating as nutrients or not. Daily bowel movements, even if we think it's not such a great topic to talk about, is very important to consider. So I would say the best thing if you are starting on a weight loss program is to check if you're eliminating on an everyday basis properly. So print Bristol stool chart, you know, B-R-I-S-T-O-L, Bristol as in the city, Bristol stool chart. And there are seven different levels, or seven different types, I would say, not levels. And if your stools resemble type 1, 2, and 3, which are like separated hard lumps and sausage-like but lumpy, and they look like a sausage, but there are cracks, then that means that there is not enough hydration. Your colon is dehydrated and the stools are not well formed. You're more likely to be constipated. And this certainly is an indication that there will be buildup of other problems if you are having constipation. That's when you really need to take a diet which helps in weight loss that emphasizes on high fiber content. Of course, all weight loss diets do emphasize drinking lots of water. That doesn't mean that it results in proper formation of stools. So you do need to increase your fiber. Because it's a fiber on which the bacteria, they chew on and then they produce good gut microbial flora. And if there is not sufficient fiber, your gut microbial flora is going to be disturbed, which means that no matter what kind of diet you do, you are not going to be able to lose weight efficiently. So then what's the ideal type on Bristol stool chart? Is type 4, which looks like a sausage or like a banana, which is smooth and soft, which indicates that the stools are well formed, there's sufficient water in it, and there is no diarrhea or constipation. This has to be the ideal stool formation when you are healthy and when you are any particular diet that is suiting you. In case this changes drastically, that means probably that diet is not most suited for you, even if you are starting to lose weight, because over the long period of time, that is going to affect your gut health. So then type 5, 6, and 7 are more like soft blobs with clear-cut edges, but fluffy pieces with rugged edges, a mushy stool, or even a watery stool, or no solid pieces like diarrhea, which means that there is a gut health disturbance. So this means you are probably not absorbing your nutrients, and therefore the aim while doing any weight loss diet is to make sure that your body is doing its everyday elimination in an efficient way. Because ultimately, if you are looking at maintaining good weight over a long period of time, I can tell from my experience that when I was very thin, I wanted to gain weight. So I, instead of actually taking on a healthy diet, I was eating weight promoting foods like, you know, more carbohydrates, more fats, and didn't do it right. And of course, you know, I gained weight, but then I mostly gained fat. But it's when I started to look at a balanced diet with proper carbohydrates, proteins and fats and good exercise, good sleep and stress management, that the body started to take a nice shape. And also I was able to maintain good health, good energy, good sleep. And these are all very important. But then I went on a high protein, low carb diet at some stage in my life, while there was a drastic shift in my fat loss, particularly around the viscera, other tissues started to suffer. Hair started to become brittle, dry, there was hair loss, and the skin started to lose its collagen. And overall, while I achieved the goal weight loss, I wasn't looking healthy. But you see, like when we go on a diet, we are so convinced about it that even if others are telling us, actually, you're not looking that great, you know, you have lost that glow, we still kind of think that, oh no, that can't be true because I'm achieving my weight loss, so I must carry on with it. But then what happened was that I noticed my body became more acidic. When there is systemic acidity, that results in inflammation. You know, one of the key signs that you notice is that your breath starts to become different. Your taste starts to differ. And in fact, if you reach ketogenic status and you don't really necessarily manage it well, there'll be constant bad breath. And of course, you know, even when you're not on a ketogenic diet, If the breath is bad, that means it's no longer related to ketogenesis, but it's related to bad gut microbial flora. Therefore, I nowadays in my practice and also personally focus more on changing the gut microbial flora to maintain healthy weight, to lose weight, and not to lose our health. So these are the important aspects to look at. And now let's look at, you know, what if you have a metabolic type which determines how you lose weight. So as I was talking about the three different types, Vata, Pitta and Kapha, let's look at if you have a Vata type, then your digestive system or your metabolism is tends to be sensitive. You know, there is predominance of cold and dry qualities. Like in this case, if you have a Vata metabolic type, which is very fluctuating, you can easily lose weight, but then you don't lose weight in certain areas of your body, particularly visceral fat, then that you probably have a Vata type metabolism. There, you really have to focus on moderate protein and moderate carbohydrate, particularly carbohydrates from whole grains. There's nothing bad than actually eating refined carbohydrates, even if they are low calorie. You need to get into using whole grains and complex carbohydrates. Good fats, monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats, you know, like lots of seeds. Seeds are really excellent, and also plant oils like olive oil, macadamia oil, sesame oil. These are the various kinds of oils that you would need to incorporate. And also nuts, but not in excess. You need to avoid certain nuts like cashews, which are high in carbohydrates, and also peanuts, you know, which are very inflammatory. I know for a fact that I have a Vata type metabolism, and then when I'm given the permission to eat nuts, I will eat a lot of nuts because it has that domino effect, particularly peanuts. If you have a certain craving for salty taste, then you go for this salted peanuts, which actually is not that great. Even if nutritionally it may come within your caloric count for the day. So important to choose the types of fats. And also reduce fruit intake. Yes, you know, fruits are very good. They give you the vitamins and they have the antioxidants. But the problem is when you have too many fruits or a certain amount of high sugary fruits when you're trying to lose weight, that changes your hormonal functions. That kind of starts to stimulate insulin production, and then there'll be glucose imbalance that results in slowing down weight loss. Of course, once you have reached your weight loss goal, it is important to come back to having fruits. But even when you are on a weight loss diet, if you're of a Vata type, you're doing fruits, go for low sugar fruits with high antioxidant, such as blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, whatever is in the season or whatever is available, rather than high sugary fruits like bananas or mangoes or other really sweet fruits. As I said, increase the fiber from vegetables, you know, not just kind of taking 2 tablespoons of psyllium husk with water, and it can sometimes cause bloating because, you know, you're all of a sudden increasing the amount of fiber with psyllium husk. It may be necessary for you if you have constipation. It may become useful if you add a little bit of psyllium husk to your smoothies or to your drink, but you must get most of your fiber from your vegetables, like green leafy vegetables or gourds, like different kinds of gourds. Explore the world of fibrous rich vegetables. That can greatly help. And it also gives you that kind of sense of, satiation, because they are filling. Reduce dairy. You know, it's so easy to crank up so many calories using even small amounts of dairy. And we know that, you know, dairy can be quite tricky because of the antibiotics that are fed, the hormones, and the whole industry of dairy making is a minefield. So unless you know the source of your dairy, you know it's of pure quality, just don't tend to do any dairy and be very careful with dairy, because dairy and gluten are the two culprits which can affect our metabolism and slow down our metabolism. Obviously, reduce wheat and gluten, or if possible, remove wheat and gluten for a certain amount of time. Even if you're not gluten intolerant, this will help in keeping your gut clean and helps in reducing inflammation, and your weight loss efforts will become a lot more efficient. And finally, I would say, avoid root vegetables, because it's such a temptation when we say vegetables to go for root vegetables, but it's important not to have too many root vegetables, as that can also slow down our metabolism. If you have a sharp, hot metabolic type, which is the Pitta type, as I just kind of described what Pitta type could look like, then you would have to focus on having moderate protein, much like water type, and also moderate carbohydrates, much like water type. Again, pay attention to whole grains. And much like water types, you also need good fats, monounsaturated, polyunsaturated fats from seeds and nuts, and increase fiber from vegetables, reduce dairy, reduce wheat and gluten, and it is very much like the Vata type. But what you can do as a Pitta metabolic type is, because your digestive system will be stronger, your appetite will be good, and if you are not eating the wrong types of food, your digestion and absorption will be better. As a Pitta type, you can also incorporate more raw vegetables. For instance, a good way to aim at weight loss if you are a Pitta metabolic type is to start your day, or not start the day, your first meal of the day can be a green smoothie. And again, make sure that, you know, smoothies at one time became so popular that there were all different recipes of smoothies. And as you know, if you're not used to vegetable smoothies, to mask the kind of vegetable taste in smoothies, you are often encouraged to add different kinds of fruits. But I would encourage you to have vegetable juices and not fruit juices or fruits in your smoothie, as that would actually undo the good that you will be doing when you are trying to achieve weight loss by doing smoothies.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, more and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So there is a very important role that these smoothies and fibers, vegetable juices can play in changing your gut microbiome. However, you must make sure that you are not a Vata type with a cold digestive system, where you could react badly to smoothies, to fibers, particularly if they are from raw vegetables. Therefore, I would encourage, if you are a Vata type, to have more cooked vegetables. If you are a Pitta type, do incorporate smoothies. And what about the third type, which I discussed, which is the Kapha type, those who have a heavy, cold, damp kind of digestion. So here, what is important is really to go for high protein foods, because their digestive capacity is not that great. Appetite is not that great. Usually you can recognize this if you do not feel hungry in the morning up to a certain time, almost like it is 12 noon, you still are not hungry. But 1 o'clock, you might feel a bit hungry. By 3 o'clock, you might actually start to have some cravings. That's usually the Kapha type. And slow metabolism. And if your capacity to eat becomes a little bit greater towards the second half of the day or towards the evening, you have cravings, but you don't have any hunger during morning time, you could be that Kapha metabolic type. And there, you do want to increase your protein, and always start your meal by having a bite of protein, as this will encourage your digestion and also will help in better glucose metabolism due to different kind of transit of food through the gastrointestinal tract. Importantly, if you are a Kapha type, then you would want to focus on low carbohydrates. And when you are choosing low carbohydrates, also go for really whole grains. And even if you're using whole grains, they tend to be a little bit high in carbohydrates. So try and get most of your carbohydrates from vegetables, as in non-root vegetables, green leafy vegetables. You know, for me, if I make a vegetable roast of cauliflower, broccoli, peppers, courgettes, then I just use some olive oil, and then add these vegetables, and then season it, you know, with spices. I like a little bit of chili, a little bit of salt, lots of pepper, and some cinnamon. Sometimes I also even add cumin powder and coriander powder, all tiny bit, you know, not too much, not to overpower it. And then use olive oil and then toss it several times. And then you can oven roast it for about 30 minutes or 40 minutes. And that can be wonderful. You know, it smells delicious. It looks delicious because there are all these different colors. And this can become your main source of carbohydrates, as opposed to going for flour and rice and wheat and other grains, you know, which may not be so suited for you if you have a Kapha type of metabolism. Good fats is important. You know, often, you know, those who have a Kapha type metabolism, they don't tend to lose weight easily. They tend to carry more weight than others, even if they are eating normally or much less than others. And so they try and avoid fats. And this is often the problem. When we don't use good fats, there is no way how we can actually repair ourselves. There's no way how we can keep our metabolic status going. Therefore, it is important, especially for Kapha types, to focus on using good fats. I'm not talking about excessive amounts of saturated fats, but I'm really talking about good fats, as in the ones which comes from seeds and nuts and oils, like monosaturated and polysaturated fats. Again, as for Vata and Pitta, even if you are a Kapha type, you do want to increase fiber from your vegetables. And what I have noticed with Kapha types is, even if their digestion is a little bit sluggish and slow, their elimination is good. They tend to have well-formed stools, regular bowel movements. So they actually have a much better elimination than the Vata type. avoid dairy, because you know, dairy or even reduced dairy, I would say with kind of hesitation that reduced dairy, but I actually mean avoid dairy if you're a kapha type, because you know, dairy, it is mucus forming. It can have excess calories because it's largely fat, and then there's also fat and sugar, you know, in milk, milk sugars. And so this can actually slow down your metabolism and not very good, especially if it is going to also cause some inflammation in your body. And for kapha types, I would say if you really want to change your metabolism and lose weight, it is ideal to avoid wheat and gluten. Because often it's wheat and gluten combined with dairy, which can result in poor gut health, slow metabolism, inflammation, and also unnecessary intake of excess calories from what may not be really whole foods. So therefore, it is easy if you can think, okay, for the next 2-3 months, I'm not going to have gluten and I'm not going to have dairy if you are a kapha type. So these principles, when you start to observe very closely, you can personalize your weight loss program to suit your metabolic type. General rules that one would need to follow whether you are a vata or a pitta or a kapha metabolic type is really to avoid refined sugars. You know, if you're used to having sugars, it's not that easy, because most of our commercially prepared breakfast cereals, many of the foods, they have added sugars in them. So it's important to kind of do the exercise of reading labels correctly to make sure that there are no refined sugars. But what if sugar is a very important part of your everyday eating and how to overcome, then for a short period of time, it would be good to go for certain natural sugar substitutes like xylitol or erythritol. Of course, these are sugar alcohols which have very little calories and almost like practically zero calories, and they are very sweet. And you know, you might have heard of stevia, which is from a plant. It's very sweet. It's multiple times more sweet than normal sugar. But the problem with any of these is that over a long period of time, they also actually do not help in weight loss. But it's only to initially overcome that kind of dependence on sugar. Stevia, some might find it easy to have, others might think, you know, it has a bit of an aftertaste, and so would be the case with any of the other natural sugar substitutes like xylitol, erythritol. And xylitol, you know, if you use it a little bit more, then it can have a laxative effect. So you really have to try and see how you're going to overcome your dependence on sugar. But ultimately, when you start to give up sugars, you will start to feel better. Your skin looks better. Your energy is different. Your ability to focus gets better. So over a period of time, you don't even will have a need for sugars. That's not to say that you won't have cravings for sweet foods. That's a different aspect. But, you know, using this refined sugar, like with your coffee or tea, or not thinking about sugar as a problem. You know, in this situation, we would need to really make sure that we are going to overcome that dependence on sugar. The other general rule I would say is to avoid yeast-containing foods. These are really hidden in many of the foods that we might eat. For instance, bok chutneys, even in horseradish, there can be yeast. Ketchups, of course, mint sauce, or mustard, then malted cereals, pickles, salad dressings, soy sauce, sauerkraut, then flavor enhancers, flavored crisps, stock cubes, and sometimes even vitamin supplements may have yeast base in them. So it's important to look for what foods contain yeast and to avoid them. Often, you know, when there is a problem with weight loss, it may be related to a fungal overgrowth or a disturbed gut microbial environment. And when the gut microbes are not regulated, it can lead to fungal overgrowth. And I have seen in my practice that by addressing fungal overgrowth, because the moment you address fungus or fungal overgrowth, or let's say candida, if it's a true diagnosis of candida, yes, we have to treat candida. Then in these situations, by avoiding sugar, by avoiding yeast, you can see that the gut health becomes better and your nutrient absorption becomes better. Once nutritional absorption is better, then weight loss also gets easier. The other rules to follow for anybody, whether you have a Vata, metabolic type, Pitta, Kapha, is the right combination of foods. A broad rule that you can think of is to eat fruit away from other meals. The transit time of fruit in the gut is very different to other solid foods. Therefore, not to eat fruit with other meals is a good practice. And to combine proteins with fiber, starches with fiber, but not to combine extreme proteins with extreme starches. For example, extreme proteins like fish, chicken, meat, eggs, cheese, do not combine them with extreme starches such as bread, potatoes, pasta, rice, or corn. On the other hand, if you combine extreme proteins such as fish, chicken, meat, eggs, cheese with fiber, you know, like vegetables or mainly non-starchy vegetables, not root vegetables, and also if you can combine chicken, fish with beans, pulses, peas, legumes, seeds and nuts, that's a good combination. You're also allowed to combine beans, pulses, peas, legumes, seeds, nuts, and non-starchy root vegetables with starches as well, you know, like bread, potatoes, pasta, rice, or corn. So if you follow some of these very simple principles of food combination, that also will help in better digestion and absorption of food, and leads to weight loss as well. Water. As we all know, hydration is very important, and drinking as an adult up to 2.5 liters to 3 liters of water becomes essential. Many do follow this because we have this now beautiful water bottles that we can fill water with and then keep sipping water throughout the day. However, an Ayurvedic tip or an Ayurvedic recommendation, I would say, in order to improve your digestion and also to lose weight, is to get into the practice of drinking warm water. Of course, when it is winter, it's easier to drink warm water or herbal teas. However, during other seasons, it's very rare that any of us would feel like drinking warm water. To the extent that Ayurveda recommends that if you can actually sip hot water to the highest tolerance you can have for drinking hot water, of course, without burning your palate, then that would be a very good way of stimulating your metabolism. It is good for your digestion. So that's something that you can follow if you are somebody who is happy to take this challenge of sipping hot water throughout the day. I'm not saying it should be all of your 2.5 liters or 2 liters, but at least if it is about a cup or 2 cups of hot water a day, you will start to notice the differences. So for everybody, so kickstart your day with warm water and lemon or lime juice. And you can also add a little bit of apple cider vinegar. If you have acidity, be careful that apple cider vinegar may trigger reflux. But if you don't, then lemon or lime, apple cider vinegar with warm water and even few fresh slices of ginger would be a great way to kickstart your day, because this helps in kindling your digestion. It keeps you regular in the sense it stimulates the bowel movement, so you can have regular bowel movement. It balances the pH level, the acid and alkaline levels. It can help in cleansing the liver. It can aid in weight loss. It boosts immunity. It helps fighting certain infections, you know, like onset of common colds. And it increases your energy and it gives you mental clarity. So there are really good reasons why you should be starting your day with warm water and a little bit of ginger, apple cider vinegar, lemon or lime. Also, just to make a stimulating ginger drink before or after meals would also be very helpful. Like about 2 inches of organic fresh ginger, which is cut into thin slices, and then you can either squeeze it to make it into, or press it to get the juice, or I would just use with the fiber because I can get the fiber. And if you're okay, add a half a teaspoon or quarter teaspoon of honey and half a teaspoon of lemon juice in water. And you can also add a pinch of salt, like rock salt or Himalayan pink salt, and a little bit of black pepper. This can stimulate your digestive enzymes. It can improve absorption. It enhances taste, so you get better appetite, and it reduces possibility of gas and bloating, and also it helps in better energy. So using these warm drinks through the day, around your meals, before or after, when you get up, can help in better weight loss. You know, some of the other practices, such as just body brushing, you can either use a body brush or a raw silk glove, and then doing body brushing from your feet towards the heart, from your upper body towards the heart, because that's where the lymph is drained. It can be very invigorating. It increases energy levels. It exfoliates the skin, detoxifies. It promotes lymphatic drainage, and this can be a very good practice. It is well known that even if you don't follow a very strict calorie calculated diet for weight loss, if you follow some proven general rules, you can achieve weight loss which is healthy over a period of time. For instance, drinking plenty of water and not drinking fruit juices, because that's pure calories and sugars mostly, and eating 2 meals and not to snack, and reducing the amount of carbohydrates as the day progresses, because we become less active physically towards the evening and later in the night. So we won't have a great use for carbohydrates. And use spices. I'm going to talk to you about spices very shortly, which are the spices that you could be using to stimulate your metabolism. And using the right kind of exercises, because there are so many different kinds of exercises, but you need to choose the one that you enjoy, the one which is suitable for your body type, the one that is suited to your age group, and the one which is not going to make you vulnerable to injuries, and keeping a regular practice of exercising, and importantly, using all other opportunities during the day when you are not exercising to be agile, active, mobile, standing, walking around, pacing, and making sure that you take every opportunity to move your body. And incorporating the right choice of exercise often can be a problem, because most individuals who think for losing weight they need to do vigorous or rigorous exercises, Yes, it can help, but it's not always necessary, but physical activity is important. I cannot stress how important it is to maintain a good state of mind. Obviously, if you have a very busy life or a very busy mind by your nature, then to take some time off, not thinking, not worrying, not planning, is going to be very helpful. So some use meditation. Meditation can be great if you know how to meditate or if you can learn meditation. Spending about 15 to 20 minutes of meditating every day can help. Or other such mindfulness practices will also be greatly useful. Because if you're constantly just thinking about work and food and exercise, that also causes stress. And stress really affects the adrenals. And once our adrenals are starting to become imbalanced, it becomes difficult to reduce inflammation and weight loss becomes difficult. Or even if you achieve weight loss, you put the weight back the moment you loosen a little bit of your diet or exercise. So mindset and managing stress or reducing stress response becomes very important. And good quality of sleep. There's nothing that can worsen weight gain or slow down weight loss if one is not sleeping well. And there can be many reasons why we can't sleep well. Maybe it's our environment. Maybe it's what we do just before going to bed. So to develop a sleep hygiene would be very helpful. There are many tips on the internet on how to develop sleep hygiene. And that can really help in balancing all other aspects of our physiology. Now, let's talk about spices. What kind of spices can you use which can help in improving metabolism? Loads and loads of spices. There are many. For instance, cardamom. You can add a little bit of cardamom to your black coffee, which is really good. Or you can use cardamom in your food. You can cook your whole grains or other proteins with cardamom. Cumin, you know, cumin seeds or cumin powder is really helpful. Ginger, fresh ginger or a small amounts of dry ginger, because dry ginger is quite strong, it's pungent. But then if you add a little bit, tiny bit of dry ginger into your hot food when you're cooking it, you know, it can be very helpful. And of course, rock salt, a good quality rock salt or Himalayan rock salt, which has so many minerals, becomes very helpful in supporting your metabolism. Also using cloves, basil, and cilantro, fennel, and if you are brave, then you can also use asafoetida, which is called hing, which is a resin from a plant which has a very strong odor. But when you actually put a tiny bit in oil or ghee, in hot oil or ghee actually, then it unfolds this a wonderful flavor. And this you can have it with your savory food, and this resin can help improving your metabolism. So hing or asafoetida. Coriander is good. Coriander, fresh coriander, which has so much of chlorophyll, and then also dry coriander, like dry coriander seeds. If you crush it, make a tea, that can be very helpful in helping your kidneys, in detoxification, supporting with your liver, and also such other herbs like fennel is very, very useful. And of course, many of us know about the benefits of turmeric, because turmeric is an anti-inflammatory. But I would say that you really want to not just take a turmeric capsule, which I suggest you do when necessary. I do recommend turmeric capsules for most of my patients, and I take it myself. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to stop using turmeric in my cooking. So every time you're cooking vegetables or pulses or meat or even to your scrambled eggs, you can add a little bit of turmeric. And turmeric can be a very good spice to use if you want to support your metabolism. And black pepper, cayenne pepper, paprika, in small quantities, they're all very helpful. mustard seed, not mustard as in the sauce. Mustard seed is very good. So these are the various spices that you could be using to speed up your metabolism. Some specific spices and herbs which are very useful in speeding up metabolism are definitely turmeric herbs. And you may have heard of this plant called Garcinia cambogia, Garcinia cambogia. I'm spelling it out because that's the botanical name, which in Sanskrit Ayurveda is called Rikshamla. And this became very popular at one stage because how it helps in speeding up metabolism, also regulating glucose metabolism. If you have a health practitioner who can recommend Garcinia cambogia, you could be using that. So use spices and herbs and food and a good lifestyle, and by using some very simple everyday principles of healthy living, you could be achieving your goal weight without losing your health. So do stay tuned to Are You Well, and I'll be looking forward to talking to you again next week on UK Health Radio. Thank you. Sarve bhavantu sukhinah.